Good afternoon. All right. Well, praise God. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll start with verse 13. Just kind of to fill you in, so when we read, you kind of can grasp it a little bit better. The missionary team, Paul and his missionary team, were in Thessalonica, and they preached the gospel there. They started an assembly or a church, if you will. And shortly after, I think they were there like 3 weeks or so, they started getting persecuted, and Paul and the team had to flee. Remember that? Then they went to Berea. Then from Berea, they went down to Athens. During this whole time, they were very concerned with the assembly because of all the persecution they were going through because of their faith, right? And so this is Paul's writing to them what he was thinking while they were alone, and he was in Athens and, you know, walking around wanting to go back to them to encourage them. This is his letter to them as they were being persecuted. So let's start right there, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13. And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. And so when someone hears the word of God, Galatians put it this way: there's the gospel according to man, and then the gospel according to God, or to Christ, right? The gospel according to man is the religion, is something you have to do, it's man-made. But the gospel according to Christ, that's what people have trouble with, because it excludes all religion, all effort of men, right? And so, let me give you an example. We were in Houston, and we had reached out to some people, and a couple of them said that they wanted to get saved. So then we went to their home and we started doing the follow-up, the discipleship. And during that time, we read to them, whoever's not willing to leave father and mother is not worthy of me. So one of the guys who had professed salvation said, do you realize that if I tell my mom that I believe in Jesus and him alone, and I no longer am going to worship Mary as God, or preach good works or purgatory and all that, do you realize if I do that, they won't talk to me anymore? I said, yes, I understand that, but that's what Jesus is saying. You're going to follow him. You have to leave that behind, because Jesus is the only God and no one else. He's the only Savior. You're going to follow him and him alone. So this guy walks up and said, I'm not willing to do that. And he left. Right? And so the rest of them did stay. And praise God, they're still living for Jesus, right? They're serving him. All right, so the word of God is not from men. So when we preach the gospel and someone receives it, someone believes it, they're not believing something that you made up, some word from man, but it's God's word, right? It's the gospel of Christ. As Paul put it, if I'm still preaching according to man, then why am I being persecuted? So our responsibility is to preach the gospel. The gospel of God according to the scriptures. All right? Now, these days there's this sentiment, we need to be like Jesus. Jesus was always kind and comforting, full of compassion. He never offended anybody. Is that true? Have you read the gospels? Have you read them? He called somebody whitewash. He called the guys hypocrites and fakes. That doesn't sound like some little, you know, compassionate, comforting little message. Sometimes the truth really bothers people. Of course, you know that those same guys that he called that crucified him. Verse 14. So they received the word of God. They were really converted because they received it as from God, not just from them. All right, verse 14. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews. And so the Jewish people were the ones that were persecuting the Jews who converted to Christ. You remember Paul, even before he was converted, he was so angry because they were converted that he was beating them and you know, stoning people and just full of fury because they had turned to Christ. So the Jews were the ones that were persecuting the other Jewish people for turning to Jesus Christ. And the same thing was happening right here in Thessalonica from the Gentiles. So what do we see in this clip? It's the same Indian people persecuting the other Indian people because they turned from Hindu religion to Jesus Christ. So we can see then that in the Bible, the same thing was happening. All right, now notice verse 15. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. And so there it is again. The same Jews drove Paul out ran him away. We don't want to hear that message. They drove us out. And they are not pleasing to God, but they are hostile to all men. Now notice that it says that they're hostile to all men. Why would the scripture say that these guys who drove them out are hostile to men? Because those men are being prevented from hearing the gospel, so the Bible considers that being hostile towards them. Because there's no greater hostility than to block someone from hearing the good news because it goes against your religion or your tradition or whatever it is. And so they're hostile towards all men because they don't want them to come to Christ. Verse 16, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, with the result that they always fill up the measure of their sin, but wrath has come upon them to the utmost. So these men who are persecuting the preachers of the gospel, who are persecuting believers, the wrath of God is going to come upon them really heavy. As you know, there's degrees of punishment in hell. Right? You understand that, right? Okay, you remember when Jesus said, when he was praying for, actually weeping and praying for Jerusalem and Capernaum and all those towns, he said, it would have been better for you, right? I mean, it's going to be better off, I'm sorry, for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will for you. So why did he say that? Because there's degrees of punishment. There's also degrees of rewards. Different rewards according to our faithfulness to the Lord. And so, as these men are rebellious against God, the wrath of God is going to fall upon them to the utmost. But we, brethren, having been bereft of you for a short while, in person, not in spirit, were all the more eager with great desire to see your face. And so you can see that Paul is saying, when we had to flee because they were persecuting us, and we had to run for our lives, the whole time we were away from you, we were thinking of you and praying for you. We were really concerned. We were away from you physically in that we were face to face, but spiritually we were with you. We were connected. And so maybe you're not in India or China or North Korea or wherever it is, but you can be connected in spirit to them. Amen? Right? Now, one of the missionaries, Leslie, you know him, so does Abe, Juan. You know Juan, he's in charge of modern ministry. He got beat up pretty bad for preaching the gospel a couple of times. And so even in Mexico, they really get angry when you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 18. For we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, and yet, what happened? Satan thwarted us. So, brothers, I don't know how this happens and how he does it, but somehow he has the ability and the authority to block the missionaries from going back to encourage the body of Christ. Have you ever considered the fact that this is not just men being rebellious, but Satan behind the scenes working and building this up? You know that, right? And somehow, it doesn't say how, but Paul knew that it was Satan that was blocking them from going back so that he could encourage the Christians. Now, let's follow what was happening here. So you can see that the missionary team had to flee because they were being persecuted. And he says, and we were thinking about you the whole time. We wanted to come back, but Satan kept blocking our progress. And so they knew enough to say, this is not just like some guy in our way. It was the devil himself blocking us from going back to encourage you. All right, let's continue. Verse 19. For who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For you are our glory and our joy. And you know, there's something beautiful when we have that kind of relationship that we can think of each other with that kind of appreciation. Right? Where there's unity, where there's love, we say we're brothers in Christ. It's deeper than even blood relatives. There might be a time where you might have to choose between Christ or your relative. Remember the Lord said, I didn't come to make peace, but war. And some of your enemies might be your very relatives. When we took the gospel to my relatives in Mexico, we started preaching Jesus, and several of my cousins got saved. And my aunt became furious to where she threw us out of the house. And she cursed us. Don't come preaching this. Of course, we still preached, right? But boy, was she angry. Yeah, your own relatives might be the ones cursing you. Okay, chapter 3, let's continue. This is the right one, right? I don't want to... This one. This one's the right one. Okay, we got about 8 minutes. I'll finish on time. Don't worry. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, so that you can see how they're concerned. We couldn't endure it. We thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. So they were really concerned about their faith, that they were going to, if you will, deny the faith because it's too hard being a Christian. So that no man be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. Now let's read verse 3 again. So that no man may be disturbed by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. Destined for what? What are we destined for as Christians? To become rich? To be healthy? Well, to prosper? What are we being destined for? Listen to the text, please. We have been destined for afflictions. Verse 4. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer afflictions. And so it came to pass, as you know. So they were very thorough that the missionary team, as they started this new work, this new church, look, I'm going to tell you right now, when you come to Jesus, you're going to suffer afflictions, insults. They're going to do all kinds of things to you. So they prepared them for it. They were not ignorant of the reality that it's either Christ or the world. And if you come to Christ, there's consequences. Right. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, so you can just see how actually notice, I also sent to find out about your faith for fear that the tempter, here's the devil again, might have tempted you and our labor should be in vain. All right. Now, what was the tempter doing or attempting to do to the local body in Thessalonica? What were they trying to do? Come on, y'all can participate. What was he trying to do to them that was concerning Paul so greatly? What do you think?
Discouragement.
Discouragement in which way, brother? In which way?
The persecution that was going on.
Okay, and so what would he say to them? What would he say to them?
Deny the faith.
Yeah, is it worth it? You mean you're going to turn away from your mom and your dad? You're going to allow your children to get kicked out, have their house burnt down? You sure you want to do this? Is it what? What kind of loving God is this? You can just see Satan. He's so subtle. So not only was Satan blocking them from getting there to strengthen them in their faith and encourage them, but Satan himself was working behind the scenes in that local church saying to them, come on. You come to Jesus for this? Is it worth it? You have to deny yourself. You have to give up stuff. You can enjoy, eat better, have things. Why suffer? And so I'm asking you, why live for Christ? Amen. All right. And so that's what he's saying. I could endure no longer. Verse 5. I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you. And notice, and our labor should have been in faith. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you. So Timothy comes back and says, hey, guess what, Paul? That local body is firm in their faith. They're suffering the afflictions. They're not denying the faith. They're not going back. And so he was so encouraged when he saw that. Notice verse 7. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we are comforted about you through your faith. So what did the Apostle John, when he wrote the 2 John and 3 John, he goes, this is what I'm encouraged about, that you remain in the truth and that you love the Lord Jesus and you love the brethren. Three things he mentions there. They remain in the truth, they love the Lord Jesus, and they love the brethren. You can't divorce either one. You can't say, I love the Lord Jesus, but I can't stand the brethren. That doesn't fit. It doesn't work. All three come together. You love the truth, you love the Lord Jesus, and you love the brethren. All right, so he was comforted because their faith was real. Verse 8, and for now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. Firm in the Lord. You know, there's nothing more comforting to the elders here. And even to me, as I feel like I'm part of you because I come once a month, you know. So you adopted me whether you like it or not. But there's nothing more encouraging to see that you're going on for the Lord, that you're firm in the faith. And, you know, I've gone back to some assemblies and I said, what about John? Oh, well, John, you know, walked away. You know, he moved in with a girl. I'm like, oh, that's just so deflating. There's nothing more discouraging for a servant of God than to hear that someone walked away from the faith. And I pray that y'all would be firm in the faith, strong in the Lord, strong in the truth, loving the Lord Jesus, and loving the brethren. So with that, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we see here in Thessalonica that the church, the moment they converted, were being heavily persecuted because of Jesus Christ, because they received the truth. And we thank you that they stood firm in the faith. They stood firm. They didn't deny your name, but they kept living for Jesus and preaching Jesus. And I pray that you would help us to pray for our brethren throughout the world who are suffering persecution, but even that you would prepare us, because the time is coming shortly. Because the U.S. is getting more and more hostile towards the gospel, that we're going to probably suffer more and more for our faith. And I pray that we would be firmly rooted in Jesus Christ, and we would never deny the Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I just want to thank Brother Ray for finishing 5 minutes early, actually. And I wanted to kind of stop because I have one more thing.